English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Binta est une villageoise qui n'est jamais venue en ville. Son neveu, Nando, l'accompagne en voyage à la grande ville. Écoutons leur conversation. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. Binta confond le jardin public avec un champ. 2. Nando est surpris par l'attitude de sa tante. Vous répondrez aux trois questions suivantes. 1. Avec quoi Binta confond-elle l'immeuble? 2. Pour Binta, que représente un bus? 3. Avec qui Binta confond-elle une ONG? Vous entendrez des expressions pour s'exclamer et aussi des expressions pour marquer la possession. Écoutons leur conversation.
Here we are, Auntie Binta, the big city.
Wow, Nando! I've been told that things are different in this part of the world, but I never imagined this. What a big cement hut! Look at it!
A what? Cement hut? Auntie, it's a building!
And who is it for, Nando?
I think it's for an NGO.
And look at this wide farm!
That's a public garden.
Oh, look how huge that house is! Whose house is it?
That's for an NGO too.
NGO must be rich. Where does he live?
It's not NGO, but an NGO, non-governmental organization.
Oh, look at that. A moving house. A whole family is inside it. Do they drink and sleep inside? How strange.
That's a bus, and they are passengers. They pay to get in and go to work.
Pay? For traveling in such awful conditions. I'd rather use my legs or take my faithful little donkey.
Auntie, here in the big city, we like to get things done quickly.
Well, nephew, I don't understand why everyone is in such a hurry. What a crazy life!
Vous venez d'entendre Nando et sa tante découvrir la ville. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. Binta confond le jardin public avec un champ. L'énoncé 2 est vrai. Nando est surpris par l'attitude de sa tante. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Avec quoi Binta confond-elle l'immeuble? Elle confond l'immeuble avec une case en ciment. 2. Pour Binta, que représente un bus? Pour elle, un bus est une maison qui se déplace. 3. Avec qui Binta confond-elle une ONG? Avec une riche personne qui s'appellerait NGO. Pour marquer sa surprise, Binta a choisi des exclamatifs. Répétons-les.
What a big cement hut! Look how huge that house is. For traveling in such awful conditions.
Ces phrases utilisent what, how et such pour mettre l'accent sur l'adjectif. Voilà d'autres exemples.
What a crazy life. How strange. Everyone is in such a hurry.
Répétons enfin ces phrases.
And who is it for, Nando? Whose house is it?
Whose et who indiquent la possession ou bien des questions qui ont attrait au possesseur. Nous avons entendu dans ce dialogue Nando faire découvrir la ville et ses quelques infrastructures à sa tante Binta. Nous avons aussi appris comment s'exclamer. Nous avons enfin appris à demander qui est le possesseur en utilisant who et whose. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Interview, un entretien professionnel. En français, on dit aussi interview. Dans la conversation qui suit, nous allons entendre un entretien avec Mr. Blake. Il parlera de la compagnie où il travaille et de ses responsabilités dans cette firme. I work for a Chinese company.
I work for a Chinese company, International Robotics.
Je travaille pour une compagnie chinoise. What does your company manufacture? Que fabrique votre compagnie? We manufacture industrial equipments and robots.
We manufacture industrial equipment and robots.
Nous fabriquons des robots industriels. Le verbe to manufacture veut dire fabriquer, faire, construire, produire industriellement.
Good morning, Mr. Blake. Thank you for coming to our program.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Please tell our listeners a little about yourself and your company.
Well, I work for a Chinese company, International Robotics. Our head office is in Beijing, China.
What does your company manufacture?
We manufacture industrial equipment and robots.
What are the industrial robots used for?
They're used in the manufacturing process, for example, in car manufacturing and in production of computer parts.
Ensuite, Charles Blake va dire, My main responsibility is to export industrial robots to North America.
My main responsibility is to export the company's industrial robots to North America.
Export, le verbe exporter, à la différence de import, importer, c'est-à-dire quand on amène des produits dans le pays. Dans ce cas précis, c'est de la Chine vers l'Amérique du Nord que la compagnie de M. Blake exporte. I export industrial robots to North America. What are the robots used for? À quoi servent les robots? To be used for.
What are the industrial robots used for?
Littéralement, à quoi ces robots vont-ils être utilisés?
They're used in the manufacturing process. For example, in car manufacturing and in production of computer parts.
Car manufacturing. La fabrication de voitures. Computer parts. Des pièces détachées pour ordinateur.
What are your responsibilities at International Robotics?
My main responsibility is to export the company's industrial robots to North America.
I see. Do you spend most of your time in North America?
Not really. I work at the company's head office in Beijing, but I do spend a lot of time traveling.
Vous avez entendu, our head office is in Beijing. Notre siège est à Pékin. Head office, to head, diriger. Head vient de tête, être à la tête, to head.
Our head office is in Beijing, China.
Reprenons la dernière phrase.
But I do spend a lot of time traveling.
I spend a lot of time traveling. Littéralement, je passe beaucoup de temps à voyager. Je voyage beaucoup. To travel, voyager. Time, le temps. To spend time est une expression très courante aux États-Unis. How do you spend your time? Littéralement, comment passes-tu ton temps? Et vous, votre travail vous permet-il de voyager? Do you travel for your work?
My main responsibility is to export industrial robots.
I am responsible for exporting industrial robots.
I work at the company's head office.
I work at the company's main office.
Pour les questions qui ne sont pas conjuguées avec le verbe être, on se sert du verbe to do, faire. Par exemple, You work for International Robotics.
Do you work for International Robotics? Does he work for International Robotics? She works for International Robotics. Does she work for International Robotics? Ou bien, it works, en parlant d'un objet mécanique. Does it work? Il faut bien sûr être à l'aise avec la conjugaison du verbe to do, faire, au présent. I do, you do, he does, she does, it does, we do, you do, they do. Essayons entre nous de poser une question avec do. En l'occurrence, une phrase que nous allons entendre tout de suite. Mr. Blake works for International Robotics. La question, who does Mr. Blake work for?
Who does Mr. Blake work for?
Pour qui travaille Monsieur Blake? He works at the company's head office. Il travaille au siège de la compagnie. La question, does he work at the company's head office?
Who does Mr. Blake work for? He works for International Robotics, a Chinese company. Is he responsible for the import or export of industrial robots? He is responsible for the export of industrial robots. Does he work at International Robotics head office?
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Ici Michel Joseph. Hello, I'm your English host. Je suis votre présentatrice pour l'anglais. Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais? C'est fait. Retrouvez-moi tous les soirs à partir de 21h temps universel sur VOA Afrique et sur notre site internet à www.voaafrique.com et en ondes courtes le samedi et le dimanche à 20h temps universel. Ne ratez pas English USA. Nous trouvons aujourd'hui Martin Lerner chez lui, pour une fois. Il regarde la télévision en famille. En anglais, he's watching TV with his family. They are watching a story on television. Ils sont en train de regarder une histoire à la télé ou un film. Pour simplifier encore plus, they're watching a TV story. English USA, diffusé en direct de Washington, au micro Michel Joseph. Vous apprendrez au cours de cette leçon à exprimer vos sentiments, spécialement les sentiments de tristesse ou des manifestations d'humeur sombre. Préparez-vous à vous asseoir parmi la famille de Martin Lerner. Ils viennent de voir une histoire un peu triste à la télé. Écoutez les réactions, vous allez entendre les expressions suivantes. Par exemple, are you crying? Pleures-tu? It was sad. C'était triste. Do you feel unhappy? Te sens-tu triste? I feel bad. Je me sens mal. I feel sorrowful. Je me sens pleine de tristesse. Écoutez le reste.
Sue, are you crying?
Yes, it was so sad.
But it's just a story.
I know, but wasn't it sad when the girl was lost?
Well, yes, I suppose. And why are you frowning, Eileen?
You don't understand, Martin. We like to cry about sad stories.
Do you like to feel unhappy?
Not exactly, but we like to feel bad about unhappy events. Don't you ever feel unhappy?
Yes, I do.
What makes you feel sad, Daddy?
Sometimes the news on television makes me unhappy. Just look at that. Wars. Violence. That makes me unhappy.
It was very sad when the mother died in the story. Yes, it was. The family was sorrowful. Are you sorrowful about the news, Daddy?
Not exactly. I'm unhappy, but I don't stay sorrowful or depressed.
Why not?
The events are over. They're finished. I can't change them. I'm sorry they happened, but I can't stay unhappy all the time. I have to think about the good things that happened, too.
It's like a story on television. You're unhappy while you're watching it.
I'm unhappy when it's finished, too.
But you don't stay unhappy for a long time. You do other things. You forget the unhappy events and feelings.
I'll never forget this story.
I hope you don't forget. And when you remember this story, you'll have these feelings all over again. That's the way good stories make you feel. But you can't be unhappy all the time.
What makes you feel unhappy, Mama?
You know, you saw me.
You mean stories on television?
That's one thing. I cried over this story, too.
What else?
Some things in real life. Sometimes I see very unfortunate people. They make me sad.
On peut expliquer l'humeur ou les sentiments d'un individu en décrivant le comportement de cet individu ou les événements qui ont causé un changement d'humeur chez cette personne, par exemple. Pour décrire cet état d'esprit, on se sert des mots « sad », « triste » ou bien « unhappy », « malheureux » ou bien « sorrowful », « chagriné ». Nous allons retrouver Martin Lerner et sa famille devant le poste de télévision. We are in Martin's home watching TV with his family. La conversation roule sur les nouvelles. They are talking about news. Et sur un programme qui remplit de tristesse les téléspectateurs. And a sad story for the viewers. Vous allez entendre comment on exprime la tristesse. Et vous apprendrez vous-même à exprimer vos propres sentiments. What makes you sad? Qu'est-ce qui vous rend triste? When are you unhappy? Quand est-ce que vous êtes malheureux? I'm full of sorrow. Je suis plein de chagrin. I'm melancholic. Je suis mélancolique. It's not very cheerful. Ce n'est pas très drôle, tout ça. It's not very cheerful. Donc, apprêtez-vous à écouter le dialogue qui suit.
The battle has broken out in Basivia between government and rebel forces. The fighting is near Sananga, a rebel-held town on Basivia's northern border. Reports say both sides...
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, Alan.
You're back.
What are you doing?
We're watching the news.
What were you doing?
We saw the saddest story. There was this girl, and she got lost from her parents.
Doesn't sound very cheerful.
It wasn't.
You know, it's time for you to go to bed, Sue. Tomorrow is a school day.
But I'm so unhappy.
Why are you unhappy? Because it's a school day?
Or because it's bedtime?
You men don't understand. Aren't you ever unhappy?
Il se peut que vous rentriez chez vous un soir et que vous dites aux personnes qui s'y trouvent, Why is everyone unhappy? Pourquoi est-ce que tout le monde a l'air malheureux? Il se peut que les personnes vous répondent, We got a letter. Nous avons reçu une lettre. We got a letter. It made us unhappy. Elle nous a rendu malheureuse, cette lettre. Et à ce moment-là, vous vous rendez compte que c'est une lettre avec de mauvaises nouvelles. How do you feel about events in real life? Comment vous sentez-vous à propos d'événements dans la vie courante? How do you feel about events in real life? Par exemple, à propos des nouvelles, about news. There are lots of unhappy events on the news. Il y a beaucoup d'événements malheureux dans les nouvelles. Well, I don't want to make you too unhappy. Je ne veux pas trop vous attrister. Have a great practice. Until next time, goodbye.
Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais?
C'est fait.
Avec Anglais Télé, notre programme interactif télé multimédia.
C'est à votre tour de parler.
It's your turn to talk.
No, it's my turn to talk.
No, it's their turn to talk.
Mais vous aurez l'occasion d'intervenir en direct
et de pratiquer l'anglais avec
Michel
et Roger.
Nous répondrons à vos questions.
Nous vous aiderons à formuler vos phrases. Participez à Anglais Télé.
Retrouvez-nous aussi sur notre groupe Facebook Anglais Télé.
This is Roger Muntu with Anglais Télé. I'm reminding you again that Michel Joseph is not here with us, but we are having a fun conversation with some of, I can't even say students, because those three people speak English way better than I do. I have, of course, Alima Touré, Mariam Gaba, and also Faïssa, who's telling me he never even boarded into a plane, never even got into a plane or flew from Bamako to anywhere else. Are you serious, Faïssa?
Yeah, I'm very serious, man.
Oh man, I don't know, but you're really putting a lot of questions in my head. I have to tell you, that you are the first person I've seen in my life who was, born and raised in Bamako and learned English there, and I speak great English like you, like Mariama, like Alimat. I don't know what to say to you guys, and it's really amazing. So, why were you interested in English so much? Why?
Because since I was a kid, I always told my mom that I really want to be a pilot or fighter pilot into the army, So for that, much of the people told me, if you want to be like this, you have to be tricky in English, in mathematics, and physical, This is why from my third class, from my third grade, I began studying English very well. And here, this is my seventh year of learning English. So I think that if I'm good, it is not surprising for me,
It's very, 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 very impressive. I'm telling you, the day you're going to come to United States, you will see that you will not, you won't be lost. I mean, you'll be fine. I mean, when I came to the United States, I couldn't speak a word in English. I didn't know how to speak English when I came to this country. So I was not
you studied English there?
Yes, because when I was back home, when I was back home and my English teacher comes to class and starts speaking English, I'll be laughing so loud. I'm like, what language are you speaking? Can you just speak French like us, like other people, or Lingala or something, but I never, imagined that I would be in this country. So when I came to this country and I landed in the airport, the first person that came in my mind was my English teacher. I regret it.
Your English teacher.
Mm-hmm. Because I regret it. I can just see him on my head. I told you. I'm very, very proud of what you're doing, Faïssa. I continue to do that because, the world today, it's such a small place that one day you'll probably be with me in Washington, D.C., and we'll be eating burgers and speaking English to all Americans on the streets, right?
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah. That's right. I like that.
Express. Voici une expression colorée, souvent employée dans l'anglais américain. Out of the blue. Littéralement, venant du bleu. Comment quelque chose peut-il venir d'une couleur? Écoutons.
I just got a message, out of the blue, on Facebook from my ex-boyfriend, Vladimir.
Oh boy. When was the last time you heard from him?
It's been like 5 years.
And he contacted you just out of the blue like that? Weird.
Out of the blue. Cette expression décrit un fait inattendu, une surprise totale. Le mot bleu décrit la couleur du ciel, ça tombe du ciel. Décrit la surprise quand une personne avec laquelle vous aviez perdu contact pendant très longtemps vous envoie tout d'un coup un message. Out of the blue. Et voilà pour l'Anglais Express.
Welcome back to Anglais Télé. I'm Michelle Joseph. You can find us on Facebook, Anglais Télé. I'm with Dan Crafton, my colleague. Bienvenue, Dan.
Bienvenue, Michelle. Merci.
Merci. Welcome. Merci. Welcome, Dan. We are talking about human emotions, and we are moving on to three more. We're going to look at some negative ones.
Yeah,
right? Not everything is positive.
Right.
So we're going to look at anger as one of the first major negative emotions.
Not a good one.
Not a good one.
No. Anger doesn't get you anything but more anger.
Ooh, so anger
begets anger.
Begets anger. I love that term. Basically, it grows and, you know. So what will quell anger? What will quell anger?
Love.
Love. Okay, so the opposite.
And trust and all those things we talked about before.
Absolutely.
Will get rid of anger.
Right, so anger is powerful. Anger manifests itself with a lot of energy, anguish.
Negative energy.
Negative energy. It's hard for me to try and be angry right now. It's very difficult, you know, because I'm with Dan and we're having a good time, so.
Right.
But well, we need what makes you angry, Dan? Let's dig in here and see what would make you angry. Let's just see a little of what this anger could look like.
People who judge other people for the wrong reasons.
Ooh, to be judged by somebody else.
Well, I mean, everybody's judging all the time.
Right, right.
They have to judge with some kind of information.
Right, so when it's unfair,
right,
that gets you
angry.
Oh,
that really teased me off.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a few things.
Yeah,
like, for example, if I'm driving in traffic, the other day, I'm driving in my lane, and somebody tries to cut in.
Oh, terrible.
And we're all crawling, so, you know, it's not like that person's going to get ahead if they get in. But he tried. And I said, no.
So you didn't let him in?
I did not let him in. It made me mad. It made me angry. So
it probably made him mad, too.
Right. So to be mad, to be angry, is the same thing. Similar. Okay?
Right.
I wanted to tie into anger, I wanted to tie another very strong emotion that's very negative, fear.
Oh, yeah.
La peur, la crainte, anything that scares you, basically to paralyze you from doing something, and then basically the end result is negative for everybody involved.
Well, fear can be caused by a lot of different things, though. Fear of heights, fear of animals, and that's where we come to the next thing.
Okay, but fear, fear maybe when of the unknown and, or fear of something that could possibly harm you. And this really invades you and paralyzes you when that.
Well, you know, in a negative, positive way, you can have fear in a love situation too.
That's true. Dan is such a romantic. He always has to bring love back. And I like that.
No, but you can.
I like that.
Imagine it, because people that are really, truly in love fear being out of love.
All right. Or
you know what I'm saying?
They fear for the well-being of the person they love. They want everything to go well for that person.
Yeah.
So they have fear that something could happen to that person as well.
Yes. Or to them together.
Right, or to them together.
And that's what I'm saying, that's why the link there.
Fear and love.
The negative-positive link works.
Okay.
You know.
So fear, it's a strong emotion that's negative, that will stop you from doing the positive thing. And sometimes it's because something is unexplained. There is maybe the fear of the unknown. Oh, phobias. Okay.
Because that's all the fears.
Oh, yes. Phobias are magnified.
Right.
Magnified fear, right?
Yeah. It's fear of everything. Fear of heights. Fear of being indoors. Fear of being outdoors. Fear of snakes. Fear of spiders. Fear of...
So fear of life also, maybe.
A phobia, you know, claustrophobia.
Okay.
Fear of being in a closed space.
Right.
Acrophobia, fear of being in a height.
Okay.
You know, arachnophobia, fear of spiders.
Okay, so actually,
all fears.
Fear.
Yes, all fears.